Good evening. As was announced, our scripture reading is taken from 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Again, that was 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 from the New American Standard Bible.
Good to be here this evening. John the Apostle is the apostle that is known for love. And that is pretty accurate when you stop and think about all of his writings. He probably wrote more about love than any of the other apostles. Even though Paul, of course, from his pen, we have perhaps the greatest teaching on love, 1 Corinthians 13, John spent more time talking about love even than Paul. And yet, John also had an affinity for truth. When you go through his epistles, you find that he spoke a lot about the importance of truth. And from time to time, it is good for us to remind ourselves how important truth is. John said all kinds of things about truth. He emphasized knowing the truth. And, of course, the only way we can know the truth is to continue to study the Bibles and to meditate upon the Word of God. The Word of God is truth, and so the more we study it, the more familiar we'll be with it. But it is our responsibility to know truth. And John also emphasized the importance of walking in the truth. And the importance of that cannot be overestimated. We need not only to know the truth by studying the Word of God, we need to walk in it. We need to live by it. The truth needs to be the standard that gives us direction in life. And so that is very important. But in the scripture reading that we had read for us just a moment ago by our brother Arnold, we find that we must abide in the truth. We must continue in the doctrine of Christ. And again, the importance of that cannot be overestimated. We live in a religious climate today where there are many people who think that doctrine isn't important. The only thing is important is our faith in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, then you're going to go to heaven. You are a Christian because you believe in him. But doctrine is very, very important. And the fact of the matter is, as the words that we find in our text for tonight clearly indicate, you can lose your soul. You will lose your soul if you don't continue in the truth. And so let's look just a little bit at what John has to say in this context. If we back up just a little bit to verse 7, you notice there, after he has been talking about the new commandment that we, again, need to walk in, that's the same thing as talking about walking in the truth, he tells us why at verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. That is, he is one who is against Christ. And I'm always amazed as I read passages like this. It sort of reminds me of what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2 at verse 17 when he talked about the many who are corrupting the Word of God. Here, John talks about the many deceivers who have gone out. And we're not surprised today, again, because of this climate where people don't take doctrine seriously and they don't think it really matters what you teach as long as you believe in Jesus. That kind of leads to a lot of false doctrines being in the world. But it's not just now. It is not just in this generation or the last generation, but we go all the way back to the first century, and even in the infancy stage of the church, we find that there were many deceivers. And that's why it's so important for us to know the truth. You have to be able to recognize truth. You have to be able to detect error when it's being preached or when it's being practiced. It's why Paul, you remember in Ephesians chapter 4, he said that we need to be careful that we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And that happens too often. Every time something new and fresh comes along, every time an old false doctrine is kind of wrapped up in new wrapping and twisted just a little bit to look a little bit different, there are many, many Christians who will go after that and end up leaving the faith. They're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And so we need to take this very seriously. Many deceivers. What is interesting to me here is the origin of these deceivers. If you look at it, it says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. And what that suggests is that they came out of the church. And we have to have our guards up against all kind of false doctrine and false teachers. It doesn't matter who it is. And certainly people in the world, people in denominationalism, we need to be able to refute false doctrine, but we cannot deny the fact that sometimes the doctrine comes from within the body of Christ. In fact, when you keep your finger there, that might bring to your mind the passage in Acts chapter 20 when Paul was saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus. And you remember at verse 28, of course, Acts chapter 20 and at verse 28, where Paul is saying farewell to the elders and he says to them, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Now watch. He says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. You see why it is important for us to understand truth, to know the truth, to be familiar with the truth? It's because there's wolves out there. And they're going to come in. And they're not, Paul says, they're not going to spare the flock. And we need to understand these wolves are not going to look like wolves. They're going to be dressed up like sheep. They're going to be purposely trying to deceive. And so we're not going to see their claws or their long fangs. We're going to think that they are ministers of Christ, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but they're in disguise. They're wolves. And they're not going to spare the flock. And that has to do with those, Paul says, that come in from without. But that's not the biggest danger. Verse 30 really is the biggest danger. He says, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. And that reminds us of what John is saying back over here in 2 John. Deceivers who have gone out into the world. We have to be very careful about both those outside of the body of Christ and those who might arise within the body of Christ. Because again, they will not spare the flock. But notice he goes on to talk about who these individuals are in this context. They are those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Now let me pause and say this. John is dealing with a specific problem that he was experiencing in the first century church. And we've talked about this in times past in Bible class and other situations, but he probably has his eyes on Gnostics who were denying the deity of Christ, some denying the humanity of Christ, some, as he says here, denying that Christ has come in the flesh. And that was a real problem that was spreading throughout the first century church. Paul dealt with it extensively in Colossians chapter 2, or Colossians chapter 1, rather. And so this was a real problem. And that's what he's dealing with specifically here. But we have to understand that it is in no way limited to that. Like, certainly we understand. If anyone comes along and denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or that Jesus Christ is divine, if anyone denies that the Christ has come in the flesh, then that person is clearly a false teacher. A red flag should go up immediately. But the fact of the matter is, there are many other things that would cause one to be a false teacher. When someone teaches any kind of destructive heresy, as Peter talked about in 2 Peter chapter 2, anything that is destructive to the soul, then that individual is a false teacher and he's teaching a false doctrine. It doesn't have to be this. And I'll show you why I'm pointing that out here in just a moment. But in this context, these are individuals who are denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He says, watch yourself so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. And clearly indicating that we can lose, that even what the apostles built by teaching the inspired truth could be broken down. But then we come to our text. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ. And the idea there of going ahead transgresseth, the King James says. It means to go beyond. It means to overstep. And anyone who oversteps, goes beyond the gospel of Christ, beyond the teaching of Christ, is who John is identifying here. And right away, we understand that the idea that, oh, doctrine doesn't matter. You just believe in Jesus. He died for you on the cross. And as long as you accept that, then you're okay. And the danger in this particular verse is that there are a lot of scholars who will apply what John is saying here at verse 9 to what we just saw in the verses just above. In other words, they say that the teaching of Christ that John is talking about deals exclusively with denying that Christ has come into the flesh. And so then they begin to teach. Listen, if someone isn't teaching that, then it doesn't matter what else they teach. They can be in error what they're teaching with regard to worship. They can be in error with what they teach concerning the church or the organization of the church or any other subject you want to talk about. And as long as they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, then they're okay. Because John was just talking about that issue. And again, that's why I pointed out a moment ago. No, that is what John was talking about in those verses just before that, because that was the problem that he was dealing with head on. But the principle applies to any false doctrine. And in fact, in this particular verse, there's evidence within this verse itself that John was dealing with more than that. The teachings of Christ isn't dealing simply with the teaching about Christ, about the fact that he has come in the flesh, or even about the heart of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The story of Jesus is very, very important, and the teaching about the person of Christ is essential. We must accept it. But that's not all that John is talking about here when he talks about the teaching of Christ. It would be included in that. It certainly would encompass that. But that's not all that is involved. Let me read quickly. Here I have a note in my Bible from the word pictures in the New Testament, a resource that has to do with biblical words. And it says, not the teaching about Christ, but that of Christ, which is the standard of Christian teaching. As the walk of Christ is the standard of the Christian's walk. And that point is well taken. He's emphasizing the teachings of Christ isn't the teaching about Christ. It's the teaching that comes from Christ. And it's very important for us to understand that right here. Because if all John is saying is that the only way that we'll be in error if we deny the teaching about Christ, that means every single person in the world who believes that Christ came in the flesh and that he died and was buried and resurrected, that person is saved. And that just isn't true. And it would be deceptive for us to teach that. There's a whole lot of folks that believe that Christ came in the flesh. The Muslims believe that. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that. There's a lot of individuals who would deny certain of the things about Christ who would claim that he had come in the flesh. John has to be saying more than that. And by the way, if all he was saying that is that we have to believe the teaching about Christ, why didn't he just say that? He could have just said that, but he didn't say that whosoever transgresses or goes beyond the teaching about Christ. He said the teaching of Christ. And that's what we're dealing with here. The teaching of Christ. Now, we have to understand with that in mind that the teaching of Christ has more to do than just what Jesus taught personally when he was here on earth. Because Jesus didn't have time to teach everything. His ministry only lasted 3.5 years. And at that time, the apostles even weren't ready to comprehend and accept and even have the ability to remember everything that Jesus taught. And that's where John 14, 15, and 16 comes in. And we're told, they were told, Jesus promised them that he was going to send them a comforter and they would be guided unto all truth. And that points to inspiration. And so the apostles taught by the inspiration of Jesus Christ, and what they ended up teaching were the commandments of Christ himself. You look over just quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and at verse 37, if I remember right. 1 Corinthians 14, I think the verse is 37. Yes, verse 37, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, it says, if anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the teaching that I am writing, or the things rather, that I am writing to you are a commandment of the Lord. So whatever Paul wrote, those were the words of Christ. Whatever he taught when he preached publicly, whatever Peter preached publicly, whatever John wrote or preached, they were really uttering the commandments of Christ because they did all that by inspiration. Now, what does that mean for us? Very simple. It means that we must abide in the words of Jesus himself and what he taught, but more particularly what his apostles and inspired men taught in what we call the New Testament. This is the doctrine of Christ. The New Testament, that is. Doesn't mean that the Old Testament isn't inspired. It is, and we certainly learn a whole lot from the Old Testament, but the teachings of Christ, the law of Christ, the covenant of Christ is found in the New Testament, and we have to abide in that. We cannot overstep that. We cannot go beyond that in our teaching, in our practices, because if we do, we're in trouble. John says we have not God. Now, right away, when you read that, you have to know doctrine is important. The teaching of Christ is significant. I'm glad that through the years, this is a congregation who understands the importance of abiding in the doctrine of Christ. But in this liberal climate in which we live, we have to be sure that that never, ever changes. It cannot get old. We cannot grow weary in the fight for the faith. We cannot go along with everyone else who says, oh, it really doesn't matter. Let's just all get along and throw everything under the umbrella of Romans 14 and have unity and diversity and everything will be okay. No, it won't if we don't abide in the teaching of Christ, which we now know has to do with all the teachings of the New Testament. And so it is very important that we stand for the truth. We do not compromise. From time to time, we'll have brethren get up and utter prayers and be thankful for the elders for standing for the truth here at this congregation. And they all word it a little bit differently. They might thank God for the elders being sound and guiding us in the soundness of the faith. And listen, we should all appreciate that. It's not just the elders' responsibility. I'm glad that we have them. They understand the importance of truth, but it's your responsibility. I've often said, listen, if I get up in this pulpit and start preaching something that cannot be proven by the New Testament, then someone better say something to me. It's your responsibility. It's not just something you allow. You should demand that everything taught in this pulpit and all the things that are taught in the classes, even in the back, that everything that comes out from the Brown Street Church of Christ is in accordance with the doctrine of Christ, that we never overstep. Because if we do, John says you have not God. And that's important. And I hope that we'll continue to stand for that. And that that will be seen not only in what we teach and preach, but in what we practice. And that we'll never transgress the teaching of Christ. The teachings that come from Christ and His inspired men in the New Testament. And when you look at John, you see how significant this is as he goes forward. Now, he says that the one who does not do that, the one who does overstep, he doesn't have God. He goes on to say, whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And so we merely have to continue in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2 at verse 42. We have to make sure we have book, chapter, and verse for the things that we teach and for the things that we practice. And then we have both the Father and the Son. But he goes on to say, even still, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. You don't think John is serious about this? Again, in a time when there were many deceivers. And all these years later, nearly 2,000 years later, you think things have gotten better? No, they've gotten worse. There's more false doctrine in the world today than there was even in the days of John when things first got started. There's much more false doctrine. It seems like there's more false doctrine coming down the pipe all the time. People are always, it's almost like people are trying to invent new things. And gullible folks who see a preacher with a Bible in his hand but not in his heart, who's friendly and maybe charismatic and dynamic in his preaching, and they just follow along without checking it out, making sure that it's in line with the Word of God. And you end up not having God in your life. And a lot of people are in that situation, don't even realize it. Because they've been fed this idea. Well, but do you believe in Jesus? All right, you're good. You confess that He has come in the flesh. You believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Nothing else matters. There's people today who would even say, it doesn't even matter how you live. As long as you believe in Jesus, everything is covered. And that, by the way, is contrary to the teaching of Christ. John dealt with that in the first chapter, you remember, that we must walk in the light as He is in the light. That is, as God is in the light. But this is how serious this is. We're not even to let false teachers come into our homes. Now, you understand that this was written at a time when hospitality was very, very strong. They didn't have all the hotels and things that we have today. And so it wasn't uncommon for preachers to go around like Paul did and others. And brethren would have to take them in and keep them in their home. And they would be blessed for doing that. And John is saying, now you better be careful who you let into your home. If it's someone who is teaching some kind of doctrine that is not the doctrine of Christ, don't let him in. Don't wish him Godspeed. Don't become a partaker of his evil deeds. And the fact of the matter is, we have to be very careful, not just with the local church like here at Brown Street, but in all of the homes that make up this congregation. Be careful what you allow into your house from a doctrinal standpoint. Be careful about that. That's always been a problem. Look over just quickly at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and at verse 6. Listen to what Paul says there. 2 Timothy and chapter 3 and at verse 6. Paul says, for among them, this again is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and at verse 6. He says, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins, and led astray by various passions. Look at the first part of that. Again, Paul is dealing with a specific problem they were having, but look at the first part of that. For among them are those who creep into households. What do you think happens when the households of members that make up a local church allow false teachers to creep in and those false teachers persuade them of some kind of false doctrine? Do you think that ever gets back and has an impact upon the local church? Of course it does. Of course it does. We all have to be careful about that. Look over at Titus chapter 1. Titus, the first chapter, and at verse 10, listen to what Paul says to this young evangelist. Titus chapter 1 and at verse 10, it says, for there are many, and there's again, that there are many. It's amazing. Like those who don't walk the way they should walk, those who are deceivers or false teachers, there's always been a plurality of them. Well, we have to watch and be on guard all the time. Not like, oh, preacher, you're paranoid. There's not as many as you think. Yeah, I think there are. And always have been. And so Paul says, for there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers. There's that word again. Especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. How, pray tell, do you think they're doing that? They're upsetting whole families. It's because they come along and they knock on the door. And Christians, let them in. Come on in. Let's sup together and let's talk about things. And before you know it, they're persuading that family with the false teaching, things that they ought not to be teaching. And it spreads and it spreads until it destroys even the local church. You think the devil doesn't know what he's doing? He knows exactly what he's doing. He wants to corrupt local churches, and if he can corrupt a preacher that can spread it from the pulpit, that's great. If he can do it through the family or whole households, then that's great. But that's what he's trying to do. How do we prevent that? By knowing the truth. By walking in the truth. By abiding in the truth. By understanding the importance of not overstepping the teachings of Christ, and understanding the significance of all of that in the first place, and studying like we should so that we won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Oh, I know, sermons on heaven and sermons on the love of Christ and sermons on grace, wonderful. I love to preach them. But from time to time, we need to remember we are in a battle. And the devil is involved, and he's trying to deceive people. There are still many deceivers out there with false doctrines that will ruin our soul and destroy the local church. And we must be determined to stand for the truth always. Are you subject to the imitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. There are false teachers even with regard to that. I've already said during the course of this lesson that there are many people want you to think all you have to do is have faith. In fact, they will deny that baptism has anything to do with salvation. And yet there is passage after passage that tells you if you want to be saved, you have to be baptized. Acts 2 at verse 38. I've said many times, you need help not to understand that passage. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nothing complicated about that at all. You want to be saved tonight? Repent and be baptized. That will put you into Christ. Galatians 3 at verse 27. It's where God will cut away the sin in a spiritual operation from your life. Colossians 2 verses 11 and 12. It's where you will be saved. 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 21. If you've not been baptized, why not become a member of the body of Christ? Get on God's side. His side is going to win in the end. If you want a reward in heaven, you better be on God's side. You have to obey the gospel to do that. If you're subject to the invitation, I hope that you'll respond. Come forward as we together stand and sing.